coming up.
Happy days.
Both of us were struggling.
No, it's not easy.
Thousands and thousands of views.
You've got a choice.
I think that's every parent ever, isn't it?
How do you say that?
No, no, no. It's good, it's good, it's good, it's fun.
Yes, I know. Barbaric.
The fairy on top of the Christmas tree.
No change there.
Shall we revisit that?
I have no idea.
I was surprised that there was a little Joyce Grenfell there.
I could listen to that all day.
And now, enjoy the podcast.
How do you say that?
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 Hello and welcome to How Do You Say That, sponsored by BritishVoiceOver.co.uk. This is Mark Rice. He's my co-host.
Hello, hello, hello. That's Sam Boffin,
hello.
My co-host.
Hello. Hello. And this is the podcast for voice actors, where we look at scripts, make choices, and discover just how different we all are.
Indeed, because there isn't just one way to read a script. There are lots of different ways. But before we do that, let's play some true or false, Sam. Sam, once I had a tyre blow out on me on the M6, just approaching the roadworks, and I caused a 5-mile tailback. True or false?
Oh, God, I want that to be true. Although scary, it's scary to have a tyre blowout, but I will go true.
It was true, and it was terrifying, and
really?
It was dark, and it was awful.
Oh my
yes,
God.
Not nice at all. Not nice. And the AA came and they fixed my wheel, thank goodness. Eventually.
Yeah, wow, my God.
Yeah.
Okay, so true or false, I can drink coffee at midnight and still get asleep in a trice.
Now, I know you like sleep, because you've told me that before. And you're a night owl, because you've told me that before. I think probably you can drink coffee at night time.
I can. I can. I can drink coffee 10 minutes before I go to bed. In fact, I sometimes take a cup of coffee to bed. It's
Do
never
you?
Had
it's
the
very
slightest
unusual.
Effect on me.
I'm like decaf after 6 p.m, me. Well, of course, we also have our very special guest with us as well. Voice actor Pete Nottage. Hello, Pete.
Hello.
Welcome
Hello.
Along to How Do You Say That. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you for having me.
Excellent. No worry at all. Well, Sam, let's find out a little bit more about Pete, shall we?
Yes, of course. So, Pete can be described as a voiceover, a continuity announcer, a presenter, a very tired dad, and the living, breathing embodiment of a midlife crisis. It just depends who you're talking to. So he has been one of the voices of Channel 4 since 2005, spending nearly 20 years crafting the art of saying Countdown is next in increasingly creative ways. He was one of the launch voices of More 4, 4/7 and 4 Music, spent a decade as the station voice of BBC 6 Music, and was the station promo voice of Manchester United TV for an awfully long time, which is quite an achievement when he knows precisely boff all about football.
Oh, me too. He's been the literal voice of the earth at the Science Museum and drove around the world's capital cities for a smart car web series. He's also been a vocal advocate for fair pay in the creative industries and has spent more than 2 decades making British broadcasting just a little bit warmer, a little bit funnier, and occasionally a lot more chaotic. He also has very lovely eyes, by the way.
Oh.
Well, welcome along. Have you got a fun fact for us, Pete?
I do a lot, don't I? Yes,
yeah,
I do.
You
yes.
do a lot.
You do.
Fun fact. I once kept a diary of every single high five that I partook in over the course of a year.
What kind of age were you?
Oh, this would have been... I think alcohol may have been involved at some point.
Oh, my God.
But I
so you were
making
an adult then?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Seriously, yes. This has happened in the last, 15 years, I'd say.
Okay.
But a visual diary, or you just sort of noted it down?
Oh, no,
a
visual diary. There was graphs. There was...
Oh, my God.
I turned bits into bar charts and things. I worked out that the bulk of high fives seemed to come between the hours of, 10 p.m. and 2 a.m.
Yes, but then, you see, that's an important bit of information.
Yeah,
actually,
but they dropped like a stone, between 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. for some reason.
Strange, isn't it?
Yeah.
Who knew?
Well, let's all raise our hands for a high five then. Come on, guys.
Yes. High five.
And we'll high five as we ask, how do you say that?
How do you say that?
Right. This is a script I've brought along today. It is from an audio drama.
Oh, is it?
Oh,
I was trying
yes.
to work out what it was. And it is set in the future by the feel of it.
It is set in the future,
ah,
yeah.
So they're looking back to the 2020s.
Mm-hmm.
Is this
yes.
a character piece?
Yes, it is a character piece. It's a teacher, a history teacher.
A history, oh, okay. Okay.
See, it's interesting, isn't it, when we do character stuff. Obviously, we all do bits of character stuff. This one is yeah, is a character, but I was picked for it, so...
You're desperately trying not to tell us too much there, I think.
Yes!
That's a little bit of a curveball, because I wasn't expecting it to be... I thought it was just an e-learning or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, I did at the beginning. That's so cool.
Mm.
It's fascinating, isn't it? Because I know where it's from, I almost can't imagine it from being anywhere else.
Sure.
Of course. Yeah.
So
yeah.
For somebody to come along and say, oh, no, it looks like a piece of e-learning, I'm thinking, wow, does it? And I can see how it kind of does, yeah.
So, history teacher from the future. Do we know how far into the future?
Thousands of years.
Oh, God. As much as... Wow, okay.
Could be anything, mate.
Yeah, I suppose it could be anything. All right, then. Now, observe. What you see is a typical classroom. Notice the chairs. Separate, rigid, identical. Students sat in them for hours at a time. Yes, I know, barbaric. And despite having access to global knowledge networks, they still memorised dates on paper. Yet in their own chaotic way, they were innovative. They pushed the boundaries of medicine, climate science, artificial intelligence, and they weren't afraid to imagine futures they'd never see. But the 2020s were also an age of fear.
Ooh.
Nice. My son likes to play so many... I'm going to say educational. I don't know if they're educational at all. YouTube videos, and that is the kind of narrating tone that's all the way through it. And you know, they get thousands and thousands of views.
Yes.
Doesn't mean it's any good.
Don't we take the impulses to create every character from stuff that we already
of
know
course
that
we
observe and see around us?
Yes.
So I can imagine that future teachers, if you like, would be not unlike teachers, you know, today, a little bit more pushed, which is what you were doing.
Mm. I was tempted, and I didn't do it. I was tempted to almost go professor, like I've done Mad Professor before, but just take it down that route slightly. And I tried not to go there. So I think I probably succeeded in my own brain there.
Yeah, absolutely.
I liked it. I thought it was really good.
The sort of warning voice where you got to the when you got to the end, because it is a change of tone, that isn't
yes.
it?
Yes. Because you can see something else is the bad stuff is going to be talked about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think if this was an animation, it would be quite jolly, you know.
Yes, absolutely.
This wasn't an animation, but it would have been great.
Oh, interesting. I kind of had a tiny bit of Futurama in my head.
Yes.
Yes.
Professor Farnsworth in my head, slightly, just a little bit. I don't know if I nailed that at all, but I was like, Pete, should we see what you bring out?
Yeah, I mean... I think mine's probably very similar to yours. Let's give it a go and see. Mm. Now, observe. What you see is a typical classroom. Notice the chairs. Separate. Rigid. Identical. Students sat in them for hours at a time. Yes, I know. Barbaric. And despite having access to global knowledge networks, they still memorise dates. On paper. Yet, in their own chaotic way, they were innovative. They pushed the boundaries of medicine, climate science, artificial intelligence, and they weren't afraid to imagine futures they'd never see. But the 2020s were also an age of fear.
Ooh,
really nice.
That was
I loved. Yes, I know, barbaric! With the little laugh. That was really good. I loved that.
That was friendly Big Brother.
Yes.
I think I went between characters so much that I was like, the age of the character just kind of varied so much.
I thought it really worked. It was very listenable. I was following all the way through, and it was one of those ones where you could see what he was talking about as well. So you brought it to life really nicely.
Oh, nice.
Yes,
I'm happy with that. Tick. Right.
Hey, woohoo. Yes, because it felt as though you were doing a sort of virtual... You felt virtual teacher,
yes.
as it were, which is, of course, you know, exactly how they played this, I think.
I don't think that Pete and I were a million miles away from each other there
no.
in our reads, particularly, Sam. So I'm interested to see what you're going to do. How far in the future do you think you are?
Well, do you know, it's awful. I can't actually remember how far in the future we were on this. But, I mean, we were, you know, thousands of years in the future. But anyway,
Yes. Well, let's see what you did then.
Okay. Now observe. What you see is a typical classroom. Yes, notice the chairs. Separate, rigid, identical. Students sat in them for hours at a time. Yes, I know. Barbaric. And despite having access to global knowledge networks, they still memorise dates on paper. I know. Yet, in their own chaotic way, they were innovative. They pushed the boundaries of medicine, climate science, artificial intelligence, and they weren't afraid to imagine futures they'd never see. But the 2020s were also an age of fear.
Ooh. I could listen to that all day.
I was surprised that there was a little Joyce Grenfell there.
Yes. Well,
yes.
Well, yeah, indeed. Absolutely. When
it did go down that route, didn't
when
it?
When don't I drag that into a little bit of cheatery stuff?
But actually, I thought it worked really nicely because it put the, almost the strict... put it, taking yes. it to that level of RP put a strictness in there that so you could tell it was a teacher.
Mm.
Yeah. And I think there was a sort of slightly cartoonish element
yes.
to her. She gets very excited, this particular character, about history. And she likes to sort of paint the picture of what
yes.
is going to happen.
Uh-huh.
So, and I think it was very typical teachery stuff, but a bit overexcited, a bit, you know, a bit pushed.
You slowed beautifully at the end, bringing in the age of fear and introducing the age of fear.
There's a lot about the age of fear, I can tell you.
That final line just draws you in really, really well. I love it.
Play How Do You Say That?
Well, it's worthwhile remembering these are real scripts we're working on. We've changed some names and some details to avoid copyright issues. And while we're on the subject of the scripts, you can find both the ones that we're using today in the show notes of this episode.
Yes, you can. So, Pete,
hello.
Tell us a bit about your script. Hello. Tell us a bit about your script.
This script is actually an amalgamation, actually, of different scripts over the course of an evening.
Nice.
That I put together. It's December now, isn't
December
it?
December now,
this
yes.
This would have been in September,
ooh.
October, something like that.
So this is an amalgamation of Channel 4 scripts, is it?
It's an amalgamation of Channel 4 scripts over the course of one evening.
Sure.
And
okay.
just getting the kind of the juiciest programmes and kind of shuffling them together a little bit.
And it looks like an intro to
it
the programme as opposed to coming off the back of the credits.
That's right. I seem to remember that when you had my friend Danny Cowan on, that was an end credit to EastEnders.
Yes, I think he did, didn't he? Yes, absolutely.
I don't know. I think he did a squeeze, didn't he?
Oh, did he do a squeeze?
I think
well,
he did a squeeze.
Still an
yeah.
end credit
that's
squeeze.
Credit, yeah.
Yes, but it's, yeah. But yeah, but it was, yeah. I guess.
I mean,
yeah.
we could argue it all
well.
Day.
No, no, no,
what
no,
I'm
going
to suggest
right.
is people go back and listen to that episode as well.
Yeah,
I can't remember.
We're splitting branding hairs, I suppose.
Would you say that there is a current style to Channel 4?
Yes, I'd say that the whole... Obviously, your job is still there to, well, let people know what's happening on telly, obviously.
Yep, indeed, yes.
It's very hands-off in terms of its style, and that's its thing. It lets each announcer... be themselves. There's differing styles between the announcer in terms of tone.
Sure.
Obviously, in terms of content, you've still got to point ahead to mm-hmm. Hollyoaks or The Simpsons
yes,
or whatever. But in terms of the way you say it, it's authentic to let each announcer say things the way they say them to their mates.
Well, I think it's really right. interesting that the authenticity word
mm.
is so massive in the whole of voiceover these days.
That's true, yeah.
But it really is important on television, isn't it? Because they want you to be a real person as opposed to the 1980s big announcer.
Exactly. And this is why it is so important that people write their own scripts.
Yes.
You know, when you go into a session, and I've done sessions for channels in the past where you've got basically a yellow pages worth of scripts.
Yes.
And they are very prescriptive. And you think, well, okay, I could change this word here and there and make it a little bit more me. And they say, no, you can't do that. And it ends up lacking something. And that's the beauty of being able to craft your own... You craft your own ball of words.
Yes.
You whittle away, don't you? And you eventually, after writing... rewriting, honing, cutting down, you
indeed.
Come up with this nugget that is just the essence of a programme, said in your own way, as if you're chatting to your mate in the pub.
This looks as though, because you've been able to broaden it out. It looks as though the time scale that you had was not too tight. Am I right?
You're right, yeah. So generally speaking, yeah. in terms of idents, you normally have about 20 seconds. You don't have to fill that 20 seconds. If you don't want, because that's the beauty of an ident. There's so much going on screen, and
you've got the big metal four kicking the ball, for instance.
Yes, it's so much that's going on. There's different things to take your attention at all times, and so what the announcers say, obviously, it's important, but it fits into the bigger picture, if that makes sense. So it doesn't sit above, it sits among, and so it's just cog in the wheel.
I'm quite impressed with them because they want to get you into the programme as soon as you get there.
There's a bun fight for viewers' attention. It's because there's so many channels, and especially linear channels as well, that is that's on the decline with streaming and everything. More important than ever that the right people hear the right message at the right time to get the bum on the seat and get them invested in that half hour or in that hour or in that whole evening, fingers crossed.
Yeah, sure.
So the whole thing is short, sharp, get to the point, in, out, done.
Well, Sam, I'm going to get you to go first this time.
All right. It's definitely not a mint that's been left on your pillow. Checking in for Ramsay's Hotel Hell at 10 to 3. First, it's psychological. It's stylish, it's Dame Diana's final role, and it's made by Edgar Wright. Four reasons to stick around for our network premiere, Last Night in Soho. Expect very strong language and violence.
Nice. I mean, certainly your personality came out there. Really nice.
Really like that. That's a lovely, warm tone, inviting you into the whole evening schedule. Very much like you know what I mean.
what I wasn't as comfortable with, actually, was the beginning of it.
Yeah.
Because that was definitely very much, I think, written for you.
That's
and
a me
your,
thing, yes.
That mint bit.
Yes.
And so that was trickier for me, because it wouldn't be something that I would say with ease. Whereas the other bit, the Last Night in Soho bit, felt more me.
You're on solid ground there. This is interesting because this is exactly the kind of thing I do when I'm training up new announcers.
Yeah.
I give them a script and say, try and change it or you know, make it your own. And they go, okay. And they don't make any changes at all. And then when it comes to recording it, they go, oh, no, that doesn't make sense.
I see what you mean.
This is how you do it. You know, you can only, well, obviously you only improve after understanding where you need to improve, where the weaker parts are, the bits that aren't you. How can I make this more me? You don't need to rewrite it completely. You can only change things around, or even just invert the sentence. You know, checking in for Ramsay's Hotel Hell, where it's not a mint that's been left on your pillow, for instance.
Yeah. No, it's great. I suspect I wasn't quick enough.
It didn't feel slow to me. Mm-hmm. Interestingly, it went along at quite a pace. Would you think it may have
overrun a little bit. Yeah. I wasn't timing it or anything like that.
Yeah,
obviously, if we were doing this live, you would have a big clock counting down.
And
a network director in your ear going, 5, 4, Christ on a bike, how do I get to the end of this?
Oh, my God.
Because obviously the very important part of the whole link is to say, expect very strong language and violence, because that is
absolutely
the bit that's legally required. So if you were running out of time, you may have to do a quick mental edit and just chop off half of the script.
Yeah, I'd have probably chopped off 4 reasons to stick around.
Yes,
if I'd have got up to that point. Maybe I'd write Last Night, so it's been very strong language. That's what I would have just kind of edited that on the fly. But but you've written for your voice for that amount of seconds.
Yes.
And so and you know where you want to pause, where you want to...
Yes, and presumably you've rehearsed that liner as well.
Yes. You always get a chance to rehearse it beforehand.
Great.
And again, it might seem good when you just write it down, but until it's verbalised, you can...
Of course,
The time when you go, oh, right, these are the edits that I need to make.
Have you ever tripped over yourself so badly that you've watched the seconds tick away and you know you're not going to make it?
Yes, plenty of times. I always like to say that you're not an announcer worth your salt unless you can balls up or you can... get out of your own balls up.
That's the thing, isn't it? I bet your blood runs cold, though, doesn't it?
Because your role is more kind of public-facing, whenever you do make a mistake, it doesn't take long for that mistake to appear on YouTube.
Well, these days, yes, absolutely.
Or Twitter or something like that. And in fact, I put one of my great mistakes up myself because I thought I'm just going to beat anyone to the bandwagon.
If you can't beat them, join them. Exactly right. Yes.
And there was a 3-line menu I was doing and I tripped over the line. Oh, I can't even remember what it was. It was something about the Terracotta Warriors and it was just a tongue twister. Unearthing a mystery kept hidden for centuries.
Oh,
and I ended up saying, unearthing a mystery kept... the seconds were ticking away. And I was like, yes, unless I abandon ship now.
Yes, 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 quite.
It's just going to crash all over everything.
I mean, I only talk about mistakes before I do this just to make it sound okay if I actually get through it. That's the reason why. All right, I think I've got an idea of what you mean by the mint line here. So let's see if I can bring that out in the way that Sam didn't think that she did. It's definitely not a mint that's been left on your pillow. Checking in for Ramsay's Hotel Hell at 10 to 3. First, it's psychological, it's stylish, it's Dame Diana's final role, and is made by Edgar Wright. Four reasons to stick around for our network premiere, Last Night in Soho. Expect very strong language and violence.
Yes. You nailed that top line. That's exactly the tone that I was
definitely.
Going for.
I dread to think what was on the pillow. But that's what I thought, yeah. I think it was a bit fast. I think the second part was probably a bit fast.
I'm not sure about that, actually. I think it was nicely timed all in. The message got across, crucially. I think the individual, the 4 points, the psychological, stylish Dame Diana, that was nicely... paste. No, I think I'm going to say A- because there's always room for improvements anywhere.
Cheers, Pete. I'll take that. Thank you very much.
Writing it, or when you're at the beginning of the writing part, that's not the joy. The joy is to have written it. You know, like doing
Absolutely.
Anything creative, like writing a book or something like that. It's lovely to have done the thing.
Yeah.
But when the words are there and you're in a good headspace and everything, and you know, because you've had experience of doing something, that even if there is a technical problem or something happens in a live environment, you're confident that you have all the information to hand, that even if the worst happens, you'll get out of it. And still, you know, it's telly. No one's going to die.
Yes, exactly.
And the thing is, making it sound interesting for a regular programme, I worked for Challenge for nearly a decade and introduced Classic Who Wants to Be a Millionaire like five times a day. There's a challenge there, isn't there?
It really is.
To make it sound fresh if you possibly can.
I remember when Channel 4 had Deal or No Deal for a good 6-month period when I could not think of anything new and fresh to say about it. I would introduce the programme by solely and exclusively talking about the colour of Noel Edmonds' shirts.
Nice.
And I understand, although I'm not, I don't know this for sure, but I understand that an official complaint went in about it.
No.
That's what I hear. I don't know if it's true or not.
I love it.
Oh my God. But then there would be equal numbers of people loving it. What are you going to say about, you know, Noel's shirts today? Yeah. I mean, that just becomes, joyful.
Right, Pete, let's have a listen to how you would do this script. I realise that this is an amalgamation of a couple of scripts as opposed to one thing that you did for Channel 4, but the style will be the same.
The style will be the same. I mean, no pressure or anything like that. Here's where it all boils up.
Don't fuck it up now.
Yeah, exactly. Here we go. It's definitely not a mint that's been left on your pillow. Checking in for Ramsay's Hotel Hell at 10 to 3. First, it's psychological, it's stylish, it's Dame Diana's final role, and it's made by Edgar Wright. Four reasons to stick around for our network premiere, Last Night in Soho. Expect very strong language and violence.
Do you know anybody that's listened to Channel 4 in the last 20 years suddenly found themselves with their dressing gown and slippers on, and you know, it's comfortable, it's warm, you know what you're getting. We're in good hands.
I don't think you wear dressing gown and slippers when you're listening to Channel 4.
Well, I'm not naked.
Painful time, I suppose.
Well, I suppose, yes. I'm still drinking my coffee and getting my stockings on. No.
I don't think we can critique in any way. It's 100%
what I expected.
Oh my
God, yes, of course we were meant to critique that, weren't we?
Exactly.
Just going, oh yeah, no,
but that's exactly what I hoped it would be.
I was actually thinking to myself, do you know, I really wouldn't mind watching Last Night in Soho. Your work
so
is
done.
So
it did the job. Yeah, it did the job.
I had genuinely forgotten we were meant to critique it. It was just like that's a continuity link on Channel 4. Lovely, I loved it.
Well, okay, Sam, if there's no critique of that, let's move on to the wildcard section, because that's where it can all mix up.
Indeed.
Pete, can you choose a script for one of us and give us a new direction with it?
Oh, now, I mean, I'm going to stick with the continuity script, I think.
Oh.
And well, and why not?
Because we're in the season, shall we say, in the style of Santa?
Oh. We can.
For Sam or for me?
Oh, now. Oh, we could do in the style of Mrs. Claus, couldn't we?
Mrs. Claus.
To be fair, I've pulled out Santa already this season.
Oh, so, no way.
So Mrs. Claus might be. I mean, I've heard her Mrs. Claus. It's very good.
Let's do that. I was thinking either Mrs. Claus or an elf.
Something Christmassy is what you're thinking.
Okay. That's what I'm thinking, yeah.
Okay, right. Let's have a go. Oh, it's definitely not a mint that's been left on your pillow. Checking in for Ramsay's Hotel Hell at 10 to 3. First, though, it's psychological, it's stylish, it's Dame Diana's final role, and it's made by Edgar Wright. 4 reasons to stick around for our network premiere, Last Night in Soho. Expect very strong language and violence.
Love it.
I am fascinated by the choice of the Northern accent.
Yes, me too.
I don't know where that came from.
I have no idea.
Mrs. Claus suddenly from Bradford.
I wanted it to feel kind of warm and sort of Christmassy.
Yes.
and not too... Yeah, I don't know. There's
it was for me.
It was welcoming. And yeah. I think because it was northern, that made it even more welcoming.
Yeah.
Come in, have a cup of tea. It's cold out.
Yeah, totally. I liked it. We just needed some bells there. Santa's out with his bells, obviously.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Right, good stuff. I'm going to move away slightly from season's greetings here, Pete, for you. And I am going to ask you to do Sam's script, the classroom script, if that's okay, because it's slightly less familiar to you, this one. I would like you to do this script as a teacher again, but you are fighting a fit of the giggles and you can't keep it all in all the time.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Not difficult at all.
Not difficult at all. No.
Right. Now, observe. What you see is a typical classroom. Notice the chairs, separate, rigid, identical. Students sat in them for hours at a time. Yes, I know, barbaric. And despite having access, excuse me, to global knowledge networks, they still memorise dates on paper. Yet in their own chaotic way, they were innovative. They pushed the boundaries of medicine, climate science, artificial intelligence, and they weren't afraid to imagine futures they'd never see. But the 2020s were also an age of fear.
That's really lovely.
And again, Northern again.
Of course.
It was interesting because you slightly underplayed it, and I think that really worked.
I loved it.
It was very genuine because you underplayed it. I probably would have been tempted to go massively over the top with that. So I liked that a lot.
I thought if there were
too many giggles, then this would have been a 4-minute long script.
Yeah, but you were pushing it down the whole time, which I loved. It was really nicely played.
That worked really well. Very nice indeed. So, Sam, what's your evil brain going to come up with for me?
For you? Well, I want you to give me what do I want you to give me? I know what I want you to be. But I don't know whether I want you to be nervous or bombastic or full of yourself or cheeky. Choose something like that. Give me something like that. I'm not going to tell you what you are yet.
Oh, for God's sake. Let's go bombastic.
Bombastic. Okay, I want you to be a bombastic cracker. You are a cracker.
Like a Christmas cracker.
Yeah, you're waiting to be picked up and you are bombastic.
Okay.
That's and, oh, script.
Weird. Wow, okay.
No pressure.
And which script?
Weird. Weird. I want you to be script 2.
Oh, of course you do.
Of course you do. You're waiting. It's Christmas lunch or dinner or tea or whatever you want to call it.
Bombastic. Okay,
bombastic cracker.
A bombastic cracker. It's like... it's definitely not a mint that's been left on your pillow. Checking in for Ramsay's Hotel Hell at 10 to 3 now.
first. Psychological, stylish. It's Dame Diana's final role, and it's made by Edgar Wright. You have four reasons to stick around for our network premiere. Bang! Last night in Soho, expect very strong language and violence.
I'm so pleased.
That sounded like you were trying to expel a Christmas dinner that was not sitting right.
Well, I guess there could have been a little bit of that, maybe.
Oh, the excitement maybe. When you got picked up.
Could you tell I was being picked up?
Oh,
and when I was
pulled,
and when it went bang, it's like...
Yes, yeah. the bang was lovely. And then you just literally la, 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 la.
I think we can all relate to that moment of ecstasy, and yes. Then you're spent.
Oh my God, you've
That's
made it
where
into
I was trying
really
to
rude now. Just like,
what's rude about that?
Just like winning a race, that's the thing. So,
winning a race and then relaxing afterwards.
Yes.
With a cup of tea.
Yes.
Well, what were you thinking, Sam?
Nothing. Let's move on quickly.
Well, as always, we've put the scripts in the show notes so you can have a try yourself. And if you want to see what we all look like in our booths doing it, check out How Do You Say That on TikTok or Instagram, because we've got some fun little shorts running at the moment.
Yes, and they're probably on Facebook and YouTube as well.
Uh-huh.
So if we're really lucky.
They will
so
be.
So Pete.
Yes.
How much freedom do you actually have to inject that kind of personality and the humour or whatever it is that you want to get into your scripts? How much freedom do you get?
This is one of the really good things about Channel 4 in particular, probably about other broadcasters as well, but my experience is with Channel 4, they just let you have fun with it. They let you make your own mistakes. They as long as you keep on the right side of the law,
yes,
you're absolutely fine. When I used to do E4, for instance, E4 is obviously, it's a younger channel, and so I would always push and push and push and push. And every now and then I'd go over the line. I wouldn't really know where the line is, but I would go over it, and then I'd have to get pulled back. But
oh, really? Right.
But that is the only... and I'm really like being pulled back, because then that gives me...
A boundary.
Experience of where the boundaries are, because you can't really push against the boundaries if you're not sure where they are.
That's true.
Do you have an editorial meeting before every... you know, sort of session,
yes,
as it were. So So in the afternoon, if you're on in the evening, you have an editorial.
That's right. So we have read-throughs every day, and you have people from presentation and media planning and duty editors, and you have to send everything through lawyers. There are so many layers. So
how far in advance are you writing then, if it has to go through lawyers as well?
If you're doing a pre-recorded script, that's up to 2 days in advance that you're writing. But even if you're live, you're still writing the following day. So it's that kind of that conveyor belt constantly of things being written 24 hours ahead. So if on a live shift you've only just got a skeleton script, at least that's something, and you can spend the following day just putting the fat around the bones.
So you all get together, you read it out loud, obviously.
Read it out loud.
And has there ever been a time where you've done that and there's been a gasp or a silence?
Pete, not today.
When there's been a, shall we revisit that?
Yes, go away, try better.
I love it. Oh, Pete, you've given us an insight to Channel 4 there, and that's lovely. A reminder that all of Pete Nottage's details can be found in the show notes.
They can indeed. And of course, the scripts are there too. So do check out our TikTok and Instagram accounts, because you can share the love by sharing those posts.
I hope you've enjoyed it, Pete.
I've really enjoyed it. It's been lovely. Thank you.
Good stuff. Well, that's it for this week. Thanks again to Pete Nottage. We'll be back next week, as we get closer to Christmas, with more scripts and another voiceover guest, when we'll be asking, how do you say that?
How do you say that?